If you have your Bibles, Psalm 23, I'm going to ask you to read along with me. Some of you may know this from memory already. If so, just quote it with us. The 23rd Psalm. Together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Father, we ask that as we examine this wonderful, wonderful truth about Your nature, Your character, Your purpose, Your provision, about everything that You are as revealed in Your name, we ask, O God, that once again You would speak deeply to our soul and draw us into the reality of this revelation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you have ever had a pet? And some of you have a pet now, right? Our family over the course of my life has had a number of different pets. We've had everything from dogs to cats to hamsters, rabbits, turtles, and a fish, all kinds of stuff. But my all-time favorite pet was when I was a boy on the farm, I had a little lamb. And its mother had died in the birth process. And so my dad gave that little guy to me, and I became its mother. I fed him with a bottle. I watched him grow fat. I hugged him lots. And I think he actually thought I was his mother. He'd follow me all around the farm and, you know, nuzzle up against my leg. And we cuddled a lot. I really, really loved that lamb. Unfortunately, I only had him for about 3 months before he was tragically killed. You see, my little lamb wanted a long life like any animal would. But I couldn't secure that for him. I was his shepherd, but I was not the good shepherd. I was not good enough to provide him what he really, really needed. In sharp contrast, King David declared in Psalm 23, "Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? It almost sounds like an overstatement. I mean, let's face it. It can't be true, can it? If there's one word that describes the human condition, it is want. That's where we live. We're jammed full of desires, of wants. Whether it's our sexual drive, the urge to kill, our physical hunger or thirst, our longing for peace, acceptance, encouragement, affirmation, and understanding, or the craving for the next possession, the next trip, the next experience. You identify with me, don't you? We've all got those things rolling on inside of our soul. Our wants and our desires are like an itch that won't go away. We scratch it. We apply all the creams of the world, and yet we still itch. We still desire. We still want. Have you ever wondered if satisfaction is only just a nice word? It's only just a philosophical concept? Is genuine, lasting contentment just a fleeting idea, just a mirage in the distance that we chase and never find? Will we go on wanting forever? Surely you've wrestled with these questions. Well, 1,000 years before Jesus stated that He was the good shepherd, and that he had come to give us overflowing, thirst-quenching, soul-satisfying, abundant life. 1,000 years before that, David had thus declared him to be and thus experienced him to be. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." Now please notice that these two statements are smack up against each other. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. You can't pull those two apart. You see, you can't belong to any other shepherd and have that kind of soul satisfaction. It's only connected to Jehovah Rohi. I can't give that kind of life to you. Neither can any other kind of human being. But there is one who can. As we're going to examine Psalm 23, we're going to see how Jehovah Rohi cares for his own and supplies this kind of abundant soul-satisfying satisfaction. He said, as he begins the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." And the very next phrase is, "He makes me lie down." Now, if you haven't been a shepherd of sheep, you wouldn't know this unless somebody read it to you. I remember it as a little boy with my dad. He had about 200 head of sheep. But I'm also indebted this morning to Philip Keller for the excellent insights in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. He says that because of the nature of a sheep will not lie down unless there are four basic requirements in its life that are met. For a sheep to lie down, it must have a freedom from hunger, a freedom from fear, a freedom from tension, and a freedom from aggravation. Now let's walk through those this morning and see how the Lord does just that. The rest of Psalm 23 explains how the Lord satisfies those four very areas, thus enabling the sheep to lie down and be satisfied without want. The first obstacle to contentment in a sheep and in us is hunger. David said, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Now please remember, this was not written in some lush river valley. This was not written in the wonderful green hills of wherever. This was written in the dry, brown, sun-baked wastelands of southern Palestine, much like the desert areas around here. Have you ever gone walking trying to look for a nice green park to sit down and have a picnic? You do that? I've given up on it. Because you just can't find them. In other words, finding a green pasture in this area is incredibly uncommon. It's going to take a lot of work, a lot of constant vigilance in order for upkeep, regular irrigation, constant care, because it just doesn't happen. But dear friends, that's exactly like God. Jesus said the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He goes all out. He spares no expense. He gives all he has. He worked consistently to, in the midst of the most barren surroundings, provide a lush green pasture. That's just like God. You see, the reason many sheep in Palestine back then, and perhaps even this day, the reason many of the sheep were scrawny and lacked rest is because they were constantly on the hunt for food, scrounging under every rock, behind every scrub brush. But Jesus said, "Not my sheep. No, I so thoroughly satisfy them, they can actually lie down. They don't have to worry about where the next meal is coming from." I remember years ago seeing a cartoon with a long fence separating two large pastures. And there were cattle in both pastures, but the cartoon was focused on two cows who were right at the fence. One in this pasture, one in this pasture. And both cows had their heads through the fence, eating grass on the other side. You can see it in your mind? And I thought, that's the human condition. All of us are looking, we think the grass is greener on the other side. We think it's better over there. And so we go eating in everybody else's pastures. We go searching everywhere to try and satisfy. Dear friends, you can't satisfy your soul by eating in the pastures of the world. It's just not going to satisfy. You will never find greener pastures than the one that has been prepared by Jesus Christ Himself. Then you would say, well, what does He feed us? You don't know my culture. You don't know what's special to my taste. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, or kosher, or kubasa. What? That's not what He's talking about. He says, man lives on every word that comes from the mouth of God. In John 4:32 and 33, He told His disciples when they went off to get food and He spent the afternoon ministering to that woman in Samaria. He says, I've got food to eat that you know nothing about. And they start looking around and say, where did He get it? No. He says, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. That's my food. When I hear what God is saying, when I apply it in my life and when I do it, there's a soul satisfaction that comes that none of the world's food will ever reach. It will never touch it. That's the kind of food that God gives me. In John 10:27, Jesus said, My sheep, hear my voice. They hear my word and they follow me. They hear it, they chew it, they digest it, they put it into action. That's what qualifies my sheep. My sheep are the ones who are eating at my table. They are feasting on my truth. They are hearing my voice and responding. That's my sheep. My sheep are not in want, precisely because they're not hungry, precisely because they've been listening and responding to my word. Do you have a hungry soul today? Only you can answer that question. Dear friends, take time to listen to the Good Shepherd. Take His words and eat them. Follow His directions. Do what He says, and I guarantee you, you will be satisfied. You can have your body wasting away with physical hunger. You can have gone 3, 7, 12 days without food. And you can still have soul satisfaction. Do you hear that? My sheep, Jesus said, are not in want because they hear my voice and they follow me. The scripture says He even prepares a table in the midst of our enemies. Dear friends, all the forces of hell can't stop God's banquet table because they can't touch His soul satisfying food. They can take away everything that this world offers you, but they can't take away His Spirit whispering His word to your soul. They can't touch it. Jesus provides complete freedom from that gnawing soul hunger, and today He simply says, my child, come and dine. Come and dine. Jesus also provides freedom from fear. You're going to lay down, you got to be free from fear. Sheep are by very nature, very timid creatures. I remember as a kid going among them, they'd be nibbling away in the pasture, and I'd just go, and they started to run around, and I would laugh as a little kid. You know, I could do that every 5 minutes, and they'd always do the same reaction. I said, come on, you guys, learn. No, they were always just very, very timid, very fearful animals. It's just what they were like. Now, you know, in this regard, aren't we just like sheep? We are. Fear comes in all shapes and sizes. But it always has a measure of torment. Early in our marriage, my dear wife Brenda struggled with fear at very, very deep levels. I don't have time to explain it to you this morning other than to say that she was in great bondage to fear. It literally paralyzed her. It froze her. It robbed her of joy. It crippled her ability to trust. And it was tough on us. But one day, Jesus set her absolutely free. And she has been free indeed to this very day. She can tell you very clearly about the power of Jesus to set the captive free. David said he could walk through the valley without fear. Even the valley of the shadow of death. Now you know, especially in this region where with the wadis and the valleys. Valleys are where predators abound, where thieves hide, and where the dangers are imminent and profound. But David said, I don't have to fear, even in those awful places of life, because you are with me. Some of you are walking through awful places of life right now. And the temptation is just, oh, like the sheep, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Dear friends, you don't have to fear when you know that God, your shepherd, is with you. Not just watching you from a distance, He's with you. David said, your rod and your staff, they protect me. A staff is that long stick with a crook, a hook on the end of it, and it was used to rescue sheep, to pull them out of the water or from a rough place or in the mountain crag or wherever they got lost. Sheep are very common or are very, they're kind of dumb creatures actually. And so they just wander off and they get lost and they get in trouble. And the shepherd would use that to reach down sometimes where he couldn't physically get, and he would pull the sheep out. We have to do that sometime in the farm, pulling the sheep out of the water pond or the slough or whatever. Dad would use the hook, the staff. Have you ever got yourself into trouble? Have you ever wandered off and realized, oh my goodness, this is not good? Ever been there? I assume the humor is yes. Yeah, we've all been there. Thank God we've got a shepherd who will reach for that staff and pull us out. Amen? The rod was like a club. It was used to beat off the predators. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A few days after my little lamb was killed, and after my dad had lost about 30 other head of sheep, I woke up one morning early, around 6 in the morning, to a loud bang! Cracked the morning air. My father had spent the night sitting on top of the barn, wanting to find out what in the world was killing the sheep. And that morning, about 6 a.m., a big hairy animal walked through the yard, had wool hanging out of its mouth. My dad lifted that rifle and blew that sucker away. That's lingo for he killed him. And I woke up that morning and ran out into the yard and saw that animal lying there with, well, it was a mess, but I was so glad to know that that thing that killed my little lamb would never, ever do it again. The Bible describes the devil as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Dear friends, if you go to the Easter story that we're celebrating at the end of Lent, you'll realize that on the cross, Jesus defanged our enemy. When he died and rose again, he crushed his head. He blew him away. He destroyed him. The scripture says, greater is he who is in you, Jesus, than he who is in the world, Satan. Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Psalm 21:1, David declared, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Dear friends, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who? Who? Anyone? Doesn't matter. If God is for us, if I'm on God's side, then me and God, it's poor English, but me and God are a majority. Who shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? God's perfect love casts out fear. His rod and His staff comfort us, and we can lie down in peace. Dear friends, if you have fear twirling around in your mind or like fingernails clawing into the essence of your soul and holding you down this morning, and I know some of you are there, I declare to you this morning, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord can set you free from fear. I don't care how long it's been in your life. I don't care what it's attached to. I don't care if it goes back generations. I don't care if it is crippling you or just hanging on the edges. Jesus Christ can set you free from that this morning. absolutely free from the fear that plagues you, the fear that haunts you, the fear that chases you down and keeps you from His best. Jesus also provides freedom from tension. In every animal society, there is an established order of dominance or status within the group. Chickens have a pecking order. Have you ever seen chickens running around pecking each other trying to establish? Well, cattle have a horning order, and sheep have a butting order. I watched it as a kid, the rams. We had about three rams in the herd, and they would just kind of run around banging into each other. You know, really, they'd knock the other sheep over, and especially with the ram to the ram, boy, they would go at each other. And in every herd, the more ornery, belligerent, or domineering sheep will be the boss by butting its way to the top. Have you ever noticed the parallel in human society? I don't know what we call it, but we will peck, we will horn, we will butt, we will step on, we will put down, scheme, manipulate, do whatever is necessary in order to keep our position, exert influence, or put ourselves forward. We see it all around us. And the parallel, unfortunately, is also true in the church. In churches everywhere in the world, there unfortunately can be power-hungry pastors and belligerent board members and corrupt congregants who sabotage God's true work in the church, in their own lives, and definitely in the world. Jesus spoke in no uncertain terms that this was not how it was to be in His kingdom. He said, if you want to be at the top, you seek the bottom. If you want to be great in My kingdom, you learn to be the servant of all. Dear friends, if we obeyed that simple mandate, we would cut out 95% of the church problems in most churches. Most problems in churches relate specifically to a serious attitude problem, a serious pride problem that has got into us and then makes us think we're hotter than somebody else, and so we end up shooting everybody thinking that we're the king of the castle. Jesus said, not in My kingdom, not in My church, not in My family. That's not how it's going to be. Unfortunately, we see the church having a pretty raunchy reputation around the world, because Christians who have adopted this worldly mindset have destroyed God's work with their politics and power plays in the church. Like a belligerent ram, everybody keeps their distance, allowing him to keep butting, and we pretend that all is well in the kingdom. I remember as a boy watching the butting going on, but I noticed a very interesting thing. Whenever my dad would come down to where the sheep were, the butting would instantly stop. He didn't have to say anything. He was the shepherd. The sheep knew it. Can I suggest to you that whenever there is butting going on in the marriage, in the family, in the church, in the school, in the business, in the community, whenever there's butting going on, you can be assured that Jesus is not in charge. Because when Jesus shows up and we allow Jesus to kind of be the shepherd, the butting instantly stops. Instantly. Unfortunately, many people in life have been knocked over by some wild sheep in the family of God or in the world. Perhaps you're one of them this morning. I have met so many people in my life who have basically given up on the church, given up on Christ, because they point back to some idiot who hurt them in Jesus' name. Verse 3 provides a beautiful word picture for those who have been hurt. David said, He restores my soul. He restores my soul. In Psalm 42:11, David asked, Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? To be cast down is an old English term For a sheep that has been turned over on its back and it cannot get up again by itself. It's an awful sight. See a sheep, not just laying down where they kind of tuck their feet underneath them. A calf sheep is somehow rolled over and its legs are in the air. It's kind of like when you put a beetle on its back, you know, and you watch the legs just going like this and it can't move. That's what a sheep is like. A sheep can roll over on its back and it just lays there, flailing around with its feet, and it can't get back on its feet. It kicks, frantically struggling to stand up without success. Sometimes a sheep will bleat for a little while, but generally it just lays there, quite frightened and very frustrated. If the owner does not arrive on the scene within a reasonably short time, the sheep will actually die. Not from starvation, not from lack of oxygen, it just, that condition actually brings on its death. Now many things can cause a sheep to be cast: carelessness, self-indulgence, too much wool, too much excess fat. I'm not going to start to make the parallels. But whatever the cause, it is a very pathetic sight. Many things can also cause our soul to be cast down as well. But whatever it is, it's very pathetic when you see a human being cast down. Often as Christians, when we see someone else who is cast down, we secretly inside judge them. We think that God is getting them. We think surely it deserves them right. And we figure out all the reasons why they're like that and why maybe they should just stay there for a while. But here we see the heart of Jehovah Rohi. When our soul is cast down, He does not leave us. He does not beat us. He does not scold us. He does not let us sit there with a serves them right mentality. The Good Shepherd comes and rolls me over. He gets me back on my feet and He stays with me until I'm secure and balanced once again. He restores my soul. Psalm 56:13, David says, "You have delivered my soul from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Dear friends, our Good Shepherd frees us from tension. He sets us free from that. Jesus also provides freedom from aggravation. I love the warm weather. You know, it's one of the reasons why I find the first service difficult, is because I get cold. My hands are freezing right now, even though it's warming up already. I love Egypt for the warm weather. I think I'm solar powered. I really enjoy it. But you know what? Along with the warm weather comes the bugs. Just this week, my wife said to me, "Dave, the answer back." As it gets warmer, you get flies in your eyes, you get ants in your pants. It's not fun, is it? It's just the bugs have a way of bugging you. Have you ever been bugged? No, not with the little creepy crawler kind of, I mean in life. Ever been bugged? Ever been aggravated? Sheep are especially troubled by the nose fly, the nasal fly. These little flies buzz around the sheep's head, attempting to deposit their eggs on the damp mucous membranes of the sheep's nose. If they are successful, the eggs will hatch in a few days to form small, slender, worm-like larvae. They work their way up the nasal passages into the sheep's head. They burrow into the flesh and there set up an intense irritation accompanied by severe inflammation. For relief from this agonizing annoyance, sheep will deliberately beat their heads against trees, rocks, posts, or brush. They will rub their head in the soil and thrash around against woody growth. In extreme cases of intense infestation, a sheep may even kill itself in a frenzied endeavor to gain respite from the aggravation. Often advanced stages of infection from these flies will also lead to blindness.